Hey there, before we get started on this week's episode, I would love to ask for your support by reviewing this podcast. We want to share yoga with as many people as possible, and this free resource, this podcast, is one of the ways that we can do that. And the best way that you can help support us is by giving us a review. So if you go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever podcast platform you use, scroll down until you find that star review and then give us some love. Thank you so much, and let's get started with this week's episode.
Many of us have many amazing friends, so I would have people come and shower me with love and, oh, it's very inspiring and congratulations and you did great. And in my head, all that was really going through it the first few months was, I gotta just keep doing it. I need to just keep doing the thing. And it was sort of the love, everything was just around me, but I was just focused on, I need to just teach. I need to keep teaching until it clicks for me and I feel confident in walking on my own and teaching on my own, because then I can stand in front of a room and receive feedback without taking it so personally. I would have taken it really personally, probably.
Welcome to the Going Pro Yoga Podcast. If you love yoga as much as I do, then this podcast is for you. We talk all things yoga related for teachers in order to supplement and complement and even support after a 200-hour yoga teacher training. Or if you've never done a training before, this podcast is all about just learning more about yoga in an authentic way. Together with Paul Teodo and Byron de Marseille, we put together this podcast to provide you with a free resource to learn more about yoga. Whether you want to share yoga or teach yoga or just practice yoga, this podcast is talking all things yoga related. And we're trying to talk from the teacher's perspective and also the student's perspective to make sure we get a full 360-degree angle on what yoga is all about and how it's evolved in the modern world. Welcome to our podcast. All right, welcome back to the Going Pro Yoga Podcast. Today, we are concluding our four-part series of Mastering Yoga Sequencing, and our guest today is Alyssa Goldberg.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me back.
Yay, it's exciting to have you. Alyssa has been on the podcast before for episode, I believe, 101, which was released in August this year, or last year, 2023, which is one of our most popular episodes, actually. So if you haven't listened
that's
to
why
that
I got
one,
invited back.
Yeah, that's why she's back. So if you haven't listened to that one, you can go check that one out, episode 101, The Path of a New Yoga Teacher,
yeah,
which kind of segues into a slight little introduction of who you are.
Yeah.
So if you haven't listened to that episode, maybe we'll just give you a quick little run through of who you are, like a minute type of thing.
So, yeah.
You want to do it?
You should do it.
Okay, cool. So, Alyssa is someone who has taken the Elements of Power Yoga training in September of 2022. Wow. So like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, year and a half.
And she has basically gone through the process of getting to a place where she's fully committed to yoga teaching and taking a lot of the steps, or she's learned a lot of steps. There isn't only one way to do this, but she's learned a lot of steps on how to get to where she is now. And now she's teaching at multiple studios in Bali. She's finding a lot of quote unquote success, whatever that means. And she's able to really develop and grow her career as a yoga teacher. And I'm pretty sure she's loving it.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, she's loving it. So having her on the podcast is always great to get a different perspective, because having someone like me or Paul or Byron, who is just like a little bit different from, you know, whether it be experience or how long it's been since they were new teachers. And for example, myself, it's been about 3 or 4 years. It's always nice to get a different perspective. So excited to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me. It's really nice to be back here with
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And to conclude this series, we're going to be talking about feedback and reflection on your sequences to kind of conclude. So if you haven't listened to the first few episodes, the first episode was Common Mistakes and Their Solutions with Paul, related to sequencing. Second episode was Sequencing for Every Body Type, also with Paul. And then the third one, Byron, is Creating Seamless Transitions with Sequencing. So all great episodes. If you haven't listened to them, go check them out. And then today, again, talking about feedback and reflection on your sequences. So as a newer teacher, a year and a half in, probably lots of that happening. Lots of reflection.
Like feedback, yes.
Lots of feedback.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, when it comes to sequencing and feedback and reflection on your sequences, what comes up for you?
The first things that come up immediately are a lot of it. There's a process I remember going through where at first I didn't want any feedback because I knew that it was probably not great, that the classes were just going to be me trying to get the words out of my mouth. And then after that first window of, please, mentors, do not come to my class, something shifted. And I all of a sudden felt more confident in the yoga studio, at least confident enough to go, okay, I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to get better. And ultimately, the only way to really grow, I would say, at a accelerated rate, in addition to whatever you're doing yourself, is to get feedback and to understand what's working and what's not working so that you can be changing and adapting rather than immediately falling into patterns that aren't serving you. Mm. And for me, that was big because naturally, I think we probably all, in anything we do, fall into a certain pattern with, oh, how I say this or how I start this class. So I needed to start to see what's working, what's not, what are students responding to, the people who are coming back, and yeah, just getting a general feel for how are people enjoying what I'm doing as I stand up here in front of them.
Great, great.
Yeah.
So how, so what I'm hearing is it wasn't easy to get feedback at the beginning, whether it be like receive it or actually like find it.
I guess you have to be open to something in order to see it.
Mm, good point.
So I was not ready at first because I am a tough critic of myself, first and foremost. I will say, you know that to be true about me.
I think many people are as well.
I think many of us, you know, we
strive all, for excellence or yeah. perfection. Lots of perfectionists, I'm sure.
Yeah, and that was something I needed to move through on my own to a degree. And I knew I was going to be harder myself than Paul or Byron coming to a class of mine who want to support me and encourage me. So that's the first thing, is I probably wasn't open, but also I wasn't fully receptive to the room at first. Whereas now, a year and a half later, for the most part, I can see as I'm moving through the room, okay, this worked. Most people are with me. Ooh, that transition didn't work. Or what's the overall engagement level? Did I try to do something too hard and the overall connection to self has decreased, or are people emotionally with me? And that's something I've learned to feel into more with more experience. So teaching a lot of classes, but also just deepening my own practice and connection to yoga, I can start to feel energetically more connected to what's happening in the room. So that has shifted because now I love seeing what's working and what's not working and understanding how I can be better, how I can grow.
Great. So when you say what's working or what's not working, are we talking about the actual asanas and the sequence of the asanas? Or are we talking about the way in which you're transitioning, talking about those asanas or delivering those asanas? Because I'm just thinking, you know, you can create sequences at home, which is usually what you do. Like you said, you've been practicing a lot of times. Yeah. So is it the feedback on the actual flow of the sequences, or is it the way that you deliver it, or maybe a combination of both? Or
I think it's look, we can all speak to our own experiences. I'm sure it's different for every single teacher. I was just talking about this with somebody the other day. He and I have very different approaches. He is plans them all, like sits, plans the classes, does them 100 times over before he goes and does them. I am much more intuitive in that I'm a little bit more of a feeling person. So I spend less time preparing a sequence and more time thinking about what's the theme and what's the playlist and other elements that help me get into my flow state, because I've taken so much yoga for such a long time that I can piece together sequences in a shorter period of time. Sometimes just knowing this is my theme, this is kind of my sunny prep, this is my this, and the rest I'm going to fill in as I go. And then afterwards, if that worked or the parts of it that worked, I'll make a mental note, oh, the sequence worked. So, but I would say I'm paying attention to the overall experience because I am a person who cares about the experience. So I am thinking about how does someone walk in and how do they walk out? Do they walk out feeling balanced in the physical asana, but also grounded and connected to themselves? and maybe a little more joyous. If those boxes are checked, that's a great, great sign for me. So I'm paying attention to what's working with the sequencing and also the experience of the class.
Great. Yeah, that's good. Holistic. That's
holistic.
Like the yoga. It's not just the physical sequence itself.
Yeah, but the sequence is obviously crucial in that it can quickly take somebody in or out of the class.
Right.
So it's a key component of the experience.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm gonna throw a curveball question at you.
Okay.
It's not really a curveball, but it just popped into my head.
Yeah.
Has there been a moment where you've gotten feedback through observation where your sequence, you could kind of tell that what you were going into, the room wasn't ready for, and you had to like pull a change or anything? Like, I'm thinking from like a physical
absolutely
perspective.
You know, we talk about this in our trainings a little bit, that there is a balance that you need to find, because some people, it depends what the class is, first and foremost. If you're in a gentle flow versus a power flow, you need to serve what that class is intended for. So, but I think about a power flow, sometimes the difficult thing I face is that you have beginners and you have advanced yoga teachers. So I have been in situations where I've noticed, 80% of my room is at a lower level of practicing than other classes have been. And I can see that they're struggling with more simple asanas. So there's that choice point that you reach of, do I just keep throwing more challenges out there and say, just climb the mountain and figure it out and take child's pose if you need it and kind of serve the 20% who came expecting fancy arm balances, mm-hmm. or do I take care of who's in front of me today? And so that is the balance that I think I'm always figuring out on my toes and needing to adapt to every time I teach yoga, because I can just, but sometimes you also need to push people beyond. So there is a healthy give and take of what can I feel into what the edge of a majority of the room is at, and then how do I support as many people as possible? And I also have found that there is, as I've developed my own teaching style, I try to have a balance of consistency and elements of surprise. So there are things that when people come back to my class, they know, okay, it's going to feel a little bit like this. The general sequence is going to take me on this type of journey, but then you wouldn't be able to just do the sequence before I'm doing, you know, that there's elements of surprise, different peak poses, different themes, different sequences. Mm-hmm. But I think a balance of knowing what you're getting into and also being able to just be immersed in a new experience is something, again, I look for when I'm going to take classes. I like consistency, but also creativity.
Right. Yeah, that intuitiveness to explore.
Yeah. So, but yes, I have definitely changed things on the spot. And sometimes it's as simple as I throw in a break where I wasn't planning on throwing on a break. Mm-hmm. Because half the room just drops down to child's pose and you go, I guess that's where we're going.
Yeah, that's good. Paying attention to the room.
Yeah, receptivity.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about receptivity.
Yeah, maybe not on the podcast. Maybe we have.
I think we definitely talked about receptivity.
It's an important
thing. I
think
there was a receptivity episode.
I hope so.
Then to come soon. Yeah. Yeah, but receptivity in the room. And then afterwards, of course, is finding out what worked and what didn't work from, I would say, all walks of life. So I love when people who are brand new to yoga come up to me and say they loved the class, but I also value when teachers or other yoga teachers come in and say, oh, that was really cool or really creative. So I'm not seeking, but I am open to it, and therefore it comes to me.
Okay, interesting, because my question was going to be like, do you actually ask? Because, you know, I'm imagining myself, you know, finishing the class and being like, I've never done this, but maybe I have, I don't know. And just being like, hey, you know, thank you for today, namaste, blah, blah, blah. you know, if anyone has any questions, you can come up. If anyone has any feedback about today's class, I'd love to hear it. Thank you. Something like that.
I actually, it's a great thing to say. I don't think I always say I'm here for any questions. I think I say our thoughts. I like the word thoughts. So I don't use the word feedback. I actively ask for feedback at specific times. So I remember after, you know, Byron came to like the first class I ever took. I ever taught. First class I ever taught, and that I didn't want feedback after that. But then I asked him, and I asked Paul, you still haven't taken my class officially.
I was wondering if that was going to come up.
It's going to come up. But when I have been at a different marker of where I'm at in my teaching, I've asked for feedback because I've felt, okay, I've leveled up to sort of, in my head, this next step on the ladder of teaching, even though we're always all growing. But I'm like, okay, I took the next step. I'm ready for more feedback of how it can be better. Right. And sometimes those are really small things. I remember after the second class Byron took of mine, he said, oh, you didn't turn the lights off for the cool down. That bothers me. And so that was really, really useful feedback. I always turn the lights off now when I am in the cool down. So it's small things that's what I would say I go more to teachers for. So if another teacher that I know comes to class, I'll absolutely go ask them afterwards, hey, what worked, what didn't work? And then I would say regulars, the people who start coming to my class more regularly, I like to check in if I did something new or something that I couldn't tell whether it worked or not. I'll turn to them and go, hey, how did you like today? And anything you would change, anything that didn't work for you.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess being, because I mean, feedback is really helpful. But then also, like the example that I said is like, if you ask for the feedback, you might get feedback that might not be very helpful.
You know, as with anything.
Yeah. So, you know, you got to
take discretion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Use discretion to take some things with grains of salt. Who's actually giving you the feedback?
Yeah.
What I'm hearing you say is, you know, you specifically were seeking out feedback from mentors or people who you knew would possibly give some constructive feedback that would be valuable. The other thing that you said that I think is really important is the moment in which you were ready to be available for that new level of feedback. You know, having done a teacher training, and you get a lot of feedback in our training.
Yeah,
a lot of feedback. So after you finish a training where you're getting a ton of feedback, do you want to continue to get more feedback, or do you want to go out in the world and like try it out and see what happens?
Yeah.
Go, you know, as Paul says, fall on your face or like try things out and see how it works. And then you might be in this limbo stage where you're like, okay, like how am I doing? You know, after a few months or whatever it is. And then what I'm hearing you say is like, then I was finally open to more feedback or the next stage or the next step.
Totally. I mean, it's a weird analogy, but in some ways it makes me think of being a toddler learning to walk. It was a brand new skill that all of a sudden I went from only ever practicing yoga to standing in front of a room of people guiding them through the asana. So at first you go, okay, I just need to learn to walk on my own. I need to learn to walk without anyone holding my hand, without, you know, naturally what's going to happen. And we're very lucky that there's a lot of, many of us have many amazing friends. So I would have people come and shower me with love and, oh, it's very inspiring and congratulations and you did great. And in my head, all that was really going through it the first few months was, I got to just keep doing it. I need to just keep doing the thing. And it was sort of the love, everything was just around me, but I was just focused on, I need to just teach. I need to keep teaching until it clicks for me and I feel confident in walking on my own and teaching on my own. Because then I can stand in front of a room and receive feedback without taking it so personally. I would have taken it really personally, probably, with where I was at in my life. Whereas now I have a much stronger backbone from teaching. You know, 1.5 years is not a lot of experience, but I've had a lot of different types of experience. And I've worked with a lot of different body types. And teaching here in Bali is an amazing opportunity because I'm teaching all ages, all walks of life, all languages, people from all around the world. So I had the gift of really getting to learn how to teach more types of people. And so from that experience, I feel more open to receiving feedback, knowing that, yes, I am still growing, and it is that discernment. Now I can sit and take feedback that is good and take it to heart and go, thank you so much. I'm so glad you loved the experience. And also when I hear feedback that is less loving, go, okay, what is useful from that for me to take and change? And what doesn't align with me? Ultimately, not everyone's going to like your class. Yeah. Not everyone's going to like your sequence. So those people don't come back to my class. So that kind of is the feedback too, you know? Yeah. If they don't come back, they didn't align, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Which makes me think about the judgment piece, which I believe Byron mentioned about that.
Yeah.
So what comes up for you? with regards to, we already talked about perfectionism and being hard on ourselves, and that's kind of what that is, right? So when you're learning how to walk or sequence, it's really hard to not judge yourself, like, I'm not getting it right away, it's taking too long, or shit, I should have known better, or whatever kind of voices are coming through.
Yeah, it's, we all have the voice in our head all the time, you know? It's the same thing we said at the beginning. You're probably your toughest critic, I would say, for many, many people. So the judgment, yeah, you know, everyone walks into a yoga class every single time with a different experience and with a different feeling. So I have people who do come to my class every week, and I can even feel when they're not in it the way they were the week before. And you have to separate yourself from that and go, okay, everyone's still coming in with their own baggage and experiences, and I do the same. We as teachers are doing our best to leave whatever's coming up for us that day outside the studio, but we're also human. So I think for me, it's ultimately reaching a place of as much non-judgment as I can practice with myself, so that when things start to come through, I can go, okay, that's, they like more creative sequences, and that's not me, and that's okay. I remember someone told me, two different people had given me feedback on someone else's class, and one person loved that teacher's class and said it was their dream teacher, and another person said, I couldn't follow along with any of the sequencing. Mm-hmm. And it was useful to have two people give me feedback on somebody else, because I recognized you're not going to please everybody, you know, and it doesn't even matter at the end of the day, because every teacher is going to have the people who their sequences, their energy, their vibration, their music, their experience resonates with, and the ones who don't. So having recognized that in myself, there's teachers that have been teaching for 15 years who I don't go back to their classes because it just doesn't work for my body or work for getting me into the place that I want to be in when I go pay and take a yoga class. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important. It's not based on your level. And I hope that other younger, newer teachers understand that, because it could be, you know, I recognize where I'm not as experienced as other teachers, and you got to give yourself credit for the fact that you are your own energy and frequency, and people are ultimately coming for that transmission. So having a perfect sequence, whatever that means, is only going to go as far as you actually believing that you still deserve to stand in front of that room and share it.
That's good. The perfect sequence, does it exist?
Does it exist?
I think the perfect sequence is just the sequence that's safe for the room.
A safe sequence, a sequence that, yeah, everybody could be in and could modify to. I think having poses where you can have a simple modification, not a modification that requires this block here and this bolster here. And,
yeah, where you have to come out of yoga mat space.
Yeah, when you're, if you need to remove somebody out of their experience, I would say that that's not accessible.
Right.
So, but perfect sequence otherwise, I don't know. You're always going to have somebody who wants 1,000 more push-ups and handstands, and you're always going to have somebody who goes, I just, you know, wish there was like more child's pose.
Right, exactly. You'll never please everyone, and I think if you don't know that, you should know that.
Yeah, and perfect sequencing is subjective. It just is, and I think obviously the elements of our team and the school that you guys have created and allowed me to be a part of is an amazing example of how to reach more people and how to, I would say, have a like solid A level, A grade sequence that reaches most people. Mm-hmm. And there will still be somebody who I'm sure comes into one of those classes with that standard sequence and goes, oh, it wasn't enough of this, or it was too much of this, or it was too strong. So
it was boring, or it was too structured, or I wanted to be more flowy, or there was, it was too strong, it was too weak. It's like, you know, you can never,
please everyone. That's the sequencing is tricky that way.
Yeah. So when you're so what I'm hearing is when you're receiving feedback, you strongly need to use discernment. And I think the thing that's probably going to be helpful to kind of like bring it together is like, are you teaching in a way that you want to teach, or that you resonate with, or that you like?
Yeah.
That is also still safe, because that's obviously important.
Absolutely.
Right? Because if you're teaching classes that are advanced, because you have an advanced practice, but you're teaching to beginners, that's not going to work. Right. But I think the most important thing is, are you authentically teaching in a way that you want to teach? So what I'm hearing you say is, or at least, you know, a few minutes ago, you were saying like, you, there's a particular style of yoga that you like, and you probably teach in a similar way.
Yeah, that's, I'm always, when I go, I think naturally when we go seek out other experiences in our lives, we're digesting that all the time. So I am pulling from all the teachers I've ever taken and all the mentors I've ever had and teachers, even outside of the yoga space. I was thinking about a drama teacher that I had the other day, and I was thinking about this other soccer coach that I had the other day and how different people shared information, because you are still sharing information. So I think that it is important to, and then especially with sequencing, pull in the things that work for you and your body, because ultimately, exactly, I can't be, it would be very hard for me to teach some super flowy creative class, at least at this point in my life, because it's not what I go practice. So, you know, it's the same thing as practice what you preach. If I'm not doing it and living that, and that's not in my own practice, how am I supposed to communicate that clearly and safely to 30 people?
Yeah, totally. That's great. Cool.
Yeah.
Fun. Do you have any other thoughts on feedback and reflection related to where we could
sequencing?
Go? I have a few notes. So yeah. We talked about importance of self-evaluation. So that's one of my notes. I think we kind of did that.
Yeah.
Kind of reflecting on yourself without judgment.
Yeah.
And then being open to feedback. And when you're open to feedback, ultimately, usually it'll come around whether you ask for it or not.
It does. It does come around. There's no avoiding, I shouldn't say no, but there's probably very little avoiding of feedback if you're teaching, especially at a studio, because people talk. They just do. They leave your class. They're talking with one another. They're talking to the front desk. And I think it's useful also to reach out to the people around the studio and the studio staff, because they hear a lot, and finding out, everyone loved that class. It's such a good feeling for me. Sometimes I'll walk out of a class and the staff will be like, oh, everybody's so happy. And it makes me feel good that that's what they're seeing as people are leaving, because mm-hmm. that was what I was going for. So I would say that there's a lot of ways to receive feedback that are not just exclusive to going up to somebody afterwards and going, can I have feedback on my sequence?
Right.
You know, it's the general paying attention. Are you paying attention to what's happening before you enter the yoga room and after?
Yeah.
And during.
That's really good. Cool. We said, so I got seeking input from students. We kind of already, that was the direct.
Yeah.
I have a note here. I don't know if this means anything, but professional development opportunities. Explore avenues for yoga teachers to further their education and hone in their sequencing expertise, such as workshops, mentorship programs, advanced trainings, courses. So, I mean, you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
But I liked what you said, which is like, you got to go out there and do it. If you're going out there and doing it and you're like, shit, I didn't learn enough about sequencing or cueing to be able to actually have anything to play with. Yeah.
We've got going pro yoga, but yes.
If you haven't done that, then yeah, there's obviously avenues for that. You can take trainings to, you know, hone in on the sequencing. Not every yoga teacher training is made the same.
No.
Right. We're all about sequencing and cueing. It's like basically our niche.
Yes.
Right. And that's what going pro is. So that's available for people. But you know, if you've taken a training and it wasn't focused on those types of things and you're like, shit, I do want to learn more about that, you know, you can find another training that's out there. You know, if you're in Bali, you know, go to our website, check it out. We got some stuff there, but just see what's around and you can learn more about sequencing your cueing to help make you feel a little bit more confident to put something out there and actually start to walk a bit and then get some feedback on it. But if you're kind of playing, you know, you haven't been shown how to walk, sometimes it's really hard to figure it out.
Absolutely. And what you're exposed to, you know, I would say I was very privileged in that I'm from LA, so I grew up taking yoga from incredible teachers. You know, I think back to how lucky it is to have been in a city that was just concentrated with really, really incredible yoga studios. And, you know, Paul and Byron's Power Yoga Studio with Brian Kest and all of those teachers. Also Yoga Works, which is where Paul, I think, did his training. And I took with a ton of incredible teachers at Yoga Works there. And so I think back to that. And that was really foundational for me, because even to this day, I have teachers whose classes are like imprinted in me and they're unique things. I had one teacher who, she always did Navasana. She always did boat pose, basically every vinyasa class. And sometimes when I do it, I'm like, oh, it's kind of, it's just happening, but I'm feeling her in the space with me. And there was another guy who would just always be in triangle really early. And so these moments are lived experience within me. And so I guess ultimately what I would say is go take yoga, go find YouTube channels, go to Going Pro, to Yoga Works, to Interdimension, to all of these platforms. Now there's so much access to it that you don't need to live in a major city. You don't need to live in London or Tokyo or LA in order to find good yoga. There's amazing yoga teachers everywhere and online. Literally, we spend so much time on our devices that you can start to find people whose style works for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to be doing regardless. And even with having great teachers right here in Bali, I'm still trying to always just keep learning, you know?
Yeah, and you keep taking, you know, new teachers' classes and, you know, you eventually create your own thing.
Yeah,
your own style. But at the beginning, you got to kind of steal, quote unquote.
Yeah, what is, Byron says, imitate, integrate, innovate.
Yeah.
I don't know, that's his three. Imitate, integrate, innovate.
Yoga's been around for a while. You don't need to reinvent the wheel, you know? Teach sequences that already exist. And then when you feel like, you know, I don't like it this way, I want to change it this way, great. Now you can innovate.
Exactly. And I really do believe it comes back to a degree, the authenticity, because we are all evolving on our own. And so the same way that I'll go through a phase where I just want to take this one yoga teacher because that yoga teacher is just speaking to whatever mood I'm in because of whatever's happening in my life that month. And then I'll be like, I'm done. And then I'll be on some other yoga teacher and that's what I need. And I'm sure that that trickles into whatever I am putting out that month. But I think it's an important thing to recognize that if you try, at least it wouldn't work for me, to try and always do what I think the brain is telling me I should be doing and trying to write out what on paper looks like the perfect sequence rather than going from lived experience and going, oh, I just took this class and I loved this one thing that this person did. Let me just pull that one little thing out and bring it into something that I feel comfortable teaching, because then you're also not trying to throw yourself 100 curveballs in a class. And I think really for new teachers, it is important to have a foundation before you start adding in crazy creative transitions, because again, it's like if you can't teach the baby how to walk, it's gonna be hard to teach the baby how to run. yeah
So steal other people's sequences, basically.
Absolutely,
that's the conclusion.
Yeah, just
how do you master sequencing? You steal other people's sequences.
Stealing sequences and throwing your own playlist, that's innovation to me. You created something new.
Because you are unique.
Or steal someone else's playlist and a different person's sequence and throw in your own favorite Sadhguru quote. And all of a sudden, you have a new masterpiece right there.
Yeah, that's 101 probably.
We are all pulling from everything we are learning from all the time anyways. So it's naive to pretend that that's not happening.
Yeah. It's like, oh no, this was mine. I created it. It's like, well, probably not.
And where'd you get it from?
Where did you learn it from?
Where did you learn it from? Yeah. Who was the teacher before you? Yeah, exactly. Before that. So maybe someone will pull something from this podcast right here and it'll go straight into their another conversation.
Maybe. Maybe.
Or not. Maybe we'll pull from it.
I mean, I'm learning things.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'm having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to wrap it up.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we got to it. Feedback and reflection on sequencing. We talked about a lot of stuff, which I think just... relating a lot more to just authenticity, I think, was the home piece of it. And then obviously certain elements of, you know, structure and being open-minded and receptive to these things. So lots of key points to reflect on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really exciting to have you back on the podcast.
It's so nice to be here. Thank you again for having me.
I did want to have you back for other reasons besides this conversation, but I'm sure that'll happen again.
Yes.
In another episode or series that we're going to put out there.
Yeah, there's more to come.
Yeah. So thank you so much for joining today. Do you have any other thoughts? Maybe a Sadhguru quote?
No, this was great.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm practicing my feedback and receptivity just by getting to sit here with you.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Great. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
And thank you to all of you who've listened and tuned into this week's episode. We appreciate you. And if you appreciate us and you enjoy listening to this podcast, we'd love for your support by just sending us a star review. Go down to the star section of Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Just, you know, give us a star review. If you want to write something, great. If you don't, that's cool too. But it just helps us to kind of expand the growth of this podcast to get it out to the world so that we can help other yoga teachers spread the yoga so we can spread the love. So thank you so much. And we'll speak to you next week. Take care. All right, before you go, let me just tell you about the goingproyoga.com platform. So right now you can go to goingproyoga.com and check it out for free for 7 days, where you can actually learn more about yoga in the ways of alignment, cueing, sequencing, yoga anatomy, so that if you've done a 200-hour teacher training and you want to continue to learn, practice, and grow, this platform is definitely for you. So I definitely suggest checking it out. goingproyoga.com. Right now you can try it out for free for 7 days.